Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 120, recorded on March 9th, 2011. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iPhone, iPod Touch, App Store, iTunes, and everything in between. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usually, is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Yeah, I'm a day late, but I'm here.
It's all right. Jeff and I got to talk about things on Tumblr yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, yes, we did.
We were waiting for you, and we thought you would show up any minute, so we just killed time talking about Paula Deen writing things. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
You're familiar with Paula Deen writing things, right?
I am now.
Okay. Well, Google search when you're done with this.
Oh, Adam, you have to be so happy that you do this show every week.
That's Jeff Gamet, of course, from the Mac Observer. Hello, Jeff.
And I already know how you're doing, so hey, how about them Paula Deen links?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was at Disneyland, and I didn't see her on the Cat Monorail.
Yeah. Yeah, she does ride the... I didn't know they had a Cat Monorail either. Until yesterday. Jeff introduced that to me.
You're welcome.
Wow, we are way off already.
I can bring it back. Did you know you can look at those animated clips of Paula Deen writing things on your iPad?
Whoa, no way. Actually, that's what I do all the time. That's pretty much what I do when we're not podcasting. So yeah, iPad 2 supposedly will be available at Best Buy, Walmart, Sam's Club, right? According to...
And Target.
Okay, so where are we getting these sources of... Where are these sources of information coming from? I know with Best Buy, I've seen... The
internets, and everything on the internets is true.
Well, yeah, of course. So if you go to Best Buy, you can find banners occasionally as you're surfing around that says iPad 2 coming Friday, March 11. And if you call a Best Buy store, at least in my experience, they will say, yeah, we're pretty sure we're getting them. You should call again later to make sure, because we're not. We think we might get them, but we're not sure.
Yeah, and Target is saying two things. On their website, they're saying they will have them on the 11th. Their PR people are saying on or about the 11th.
Yeah, on or about.
On or about. That's what consumers like to hear.
Right.
Yeah, we think we might, maybe will have them. And so when you show up, then they don't. And then you run to the Apple store and the Apple store goes, eh, you should have been here this morning.
Yeah. We'll blame Target.
We'll blame all big box retailers. It's all their fault.
So have there been any solid confirms floating around that you guys know of?
I haven't heard of any of the companies guaranteeing they will have iPads on Friday.
Okay.
And I think that's smartly so.
Yeah. I would recommend calling tomorrow, which is Thursday. Call late in the day, whichever big box retail store you're thinking about standing in line in front of and just see what they say. And if they're not too sure, if they're positive, I would take them
then
at that
either
word.
They know what they're that they're getting them in, or they're lying to you.
Right. Or just
so
go to
you're
an
no
Apple
better
store.
Off.
Yeah. You could just go to an Apple store.
No, I mean, actually you would be better off if they said, look, we really don't think we're going to have any.
Yeah.
Best Buy had the original one launch day, so
yeah,
I
they did.
See why they wouldn't have this one launch day as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and considering Apple didn't do pre-sales and reservations this time around, they're not having to hold back any to ship for pre-sales.
Right. The other thing is you could call Friday morning, 10, 11 o'clock after they've received their shipment from UPS or whatever. So, they might not even know till Friday morning.
You think that's enough time, though? I guess it all depends on how long you're planning on standing in line anyway. So if you're planning on only getting there at like 3 p.m., then
who cares? So what's your guys' sense of
of the lines.
Yeah. Do you? I just had this feeling in the back of my mind that it's really not going to be crazy. But then at the same time, because Apple's not doing online pre-sales,
yeah,
that's the one thing that makes me a little hesitant about that. But it's just feeling like, you know, a lot of people already have an iPad, and a lot of people who are wanting them on day one are just going to be the people who are like me and are just upgrading.
Right. Yeah, my sense is that we won't see enormous iPhone-like or even last year, of course, not like last year lines. I mean, I was at Best Buy early in the morning, you know, in Rockford, and there was a significant line.
Yeah. I mean, are we buying the rumors that Apple didn't get as many as they had hoped to have on launch day? And that's the other thing that would make me worried, because if Apple has enough supply, I would say you could probably safely walk into an Apple store Saturday and just get one and not have to wait in line at all.
But I don't think there's an issue with inventory.
Yeah, I mean, if it's true that they only got like 400,000 for launch day, well, then things are going to be a little tight. You know,
so you think that we could probably go in on Saturday and be fine, or even just go in at like 8 p.m.
I think on Friday there will be lines, but Apple will have enough inventory in their own stores to handle the volume. And I'm expecting that they will be getting shipments later in the day and the following morning. So I think there's a high likelihood that if you show up first thing Saturday morning, you'll be able to get an iPad. You may not have the full selection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'll probably want a white one. You might have to be there day one.
Oh, really? You think the white one's going to be the hot one now?
Well, that's the one you want, Michael. So
only because it's different and people are going to want the different thing.
Okay. Well, that's the one I want.
For whatever reason. I don't put it this way. The number of people I've seen just walking around with white iPhones, which don't even exist, says to me that people really want white for some reason. I don't know why.
Because they're crazy. So we should go around the table, the virtual internet table, and so, Adam, what are you getting? Are you going to get you're getting an iPad too, right?
Yes.
Okay, which one?
Mainly because I need it for a review. I'm kind of... I almost decided not to, but I kind of feel like it's something I have to do. So, not that I'm going to complain about it all that much.
Right. Oh, I have to get the iPad too.
Yeah, and like we talked about, I think last time, I was really hoping to get the 16 gig, but when I went and looked at the amount of storage I'm using just for apps, I don't think I can go with less than a 32.
Yeah.
So, a 32 Wi-Fi black.
Okay.
iPad 2.
Jeff, what are you getting?
I want a 64 gig Wi-Fi black, but if they're not available, then I'll go with a 32.
You need 64 gigs? What do you have right now?
I have the 64 gig, and I typically have about half of it filled up at any given time. So that would be a full 32 gig iPad right there.
So what kind of stuff do you put on your iPad?
I typically have a lot of applications that I'm messing around with. I did have two movies on there, but now I have three. So a couple movies, a little bit of music, a bunch of apps.
Yeah, see, that's the problem, is once you start loading movies on there, you're done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why I use Air Video. See, like, Air Video solves that for me. I don't ever have to worry about syncing movies, which takes forever.
But you never leave the house.
I do leave the house. Thank you very much.
I don't think you really do.
Okay, I'm
not
lying
if you
about
use
that.
Do you use the Air Video over the 3G? 3G?
Well, sometimes, but sometimes I am just at another place with Wi-Fi and it streams just fine.
Yeah, that's
now.
True.
See, I leave three movies on my iPad all the time, and they're three movies I like, and that way, anytime I travel, I know that I have something to watch. And considering that there are times where my travel isn't planned out weeks in advance, it might be a couple days in advance, okay, not having to worry about did I load some stuff onto my iPad to watch on the plane is nice. So I just leave those sitting there all the time. So that does take up some space.
That's funny. That's exactly what I do. I have kind of three of my the movies that I like to watch and don't mind rewatching for that exact purpose in case I've forgotten to load something and I'm somewhere and I need to kill some time.
That's definitely okay, so a good idea.
Which movies do you keep on your iPad?
I think right now, I want to say Pirates of the Caribbean is on there. It changes sometimes, but there are always three that, you know, that I pull out of my library from time to time. So I'm going to have to look it up. But I know Pirates of the Caribbean is on there. I think The Dark Knight.
Nice.
Inception. Inception.
That I should load on there.
You should put that on there for when you're riding on a plane so you know what not to do, which is fall asleep on a plane. Because you might get incepted.
No. Don't fall asleep on a plane?
Yeah, because you might get incepted.
Good to know.
Yeah, because you're an important internet personality and someone might want to plant an idea in your head.
Yeah.
For a podcast. I forget what
the third movie is. Yeah. Oh, damn it. The iPad always screws me up because the movies are not in the iPod. They're in
They're in the video thing instead.
In the video thing. By the way, I don't ever use that video thing. I've put it in a folder called I Don't Use This.
Oh, and now it's all screwed up because I upgraded.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should look at my movies and see if they're all screwed up then.
So,
well, no. I think it's... Well, no, maybe... Is it loading? It looks like there's a lot of movies on here. Iron Man. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Star Trek. The Dark Knight. Transformers. WALL-E.
Yeah, see that must be a lot of why I don't. Okay, so Jeff, you're getting the black Wi-Fi 64 gig,
right?
Okay, cool. I'm getting the white 16 gig Wi-Fi model because I use my Wi, obviously, for 3G if I need it, if I needs it on my iPad, and the white one looks really handsome. I think it looks great. It's going to look really awesome with my Hello Kitty stuff.
Yeah.
Your stickers are going to look so hot.
I'm so going to put stickers all over that thing.
Wow. So I have a lot of movies on here. That could be another reason why I'm using a lot of storage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably. So did you guys see the new plans for Verizon and AT&T for the new iPad? It's confirmed that there are two separate iPads for Verizon and CDMA, right? Or GSM
yes,
and CDMA.
That's on Apple's website. Yeah. Okay. The tech specs.
So Verizon has prepaid plans, 1 gig, 3 gig, 5 gig, and 10 gig, $20, $35, $50, and $80 per month for those respectively. And AT&T introduced a postpaid version for those who feel like they want to just pay for the two different things. You know, if you have an AT&T plan already, you just want to pay for it on the same bill. I guess that would be the only advantage, except for slightly lower overage cost, right? So it's for 2 gigs, it's $25. And then if you need another gig of data, it's $10 as opposed to $25 for an additional 2 gigs, I guess, because they just charge you again.
What does postpaid mean? I didn't understand that. I've been hearing that.
Postpaid is what happens with your cell phone bill. So you pay after you've used your minutes for the month or whatever.
Unless you're doing like Cricket.
Well, then prepaid.
You pay in advance for your minutes.
Yeah, that's prepaid.
Right.
Yeah. So there you go.
How was it before?
It's prepaid.
The reoccurring thing was prepaid. And now they're just saying, we'll charge you out. We'll see how much you use and then charge you after.
No. No, it's the same deal as on your iPhone. So if you, for example,
the difference?
It's you pay afterward, like you do with your phone.
Right. So it'll show up as a recurring item on your phone bill, the same as your regular data and voice for your iPhone shows up. So it consolidates your payments.
Yeah, very little difference. It only consolidates basically, and gives you a little bit. It allows you to for for the sake of overages, I think that's the biggest advantage, right? Because if you go over your 2 gig limit with a prepaid, if you have like the 2 gig prepay, then they require you to, do they charge you another?
Yeah, they just charge 25 whatever you bought.
Right. So with the postpay, they only charge you for another gig, which is $10. So there is that advantage, but otherwise, yeah.
Yeah, are they going to still hose you if you cancel?
Yes.
I got really mad because I got my new hotspot and I was just a few days into my new, you know, reoccurring prepaid thing. So I had just paid my $15 or whatever it was, because I was doing the 250 megabyte plan. I had used 1 megabyte of data. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to cancel this. But I had already paid my $15 for my 250 megs, right? So I've used 1 of 250. I have supposedly 25, 26 days left to go. I cancel it. The whole thing's canceled. It immediately turned off my data on my iPad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, huh. And I called AT&T, and they're like, nope. Can I get a credit? Nope. Can I get it back? Nope. So you just stole my $15.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Wow, that's really crappy.
Yeah. And there was no indication. I probably have to read the fine print. It's probably in the fine print, but it didn't make any sense to me that it's a prepaid monthly plan. That's what I thought it was. I would have thought I could have canceled any time within that month, but still been able to finish out my
right
data,
like most other things.
You know, when I make any changes to my phone plan, I always call AT&T instead of doing it through the web interface or on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have found is that when I call in and take care of a change that way, there's someone on the phone and they'll say, oh, this also is going to happen if you do this.
Yeah.
And,
but I mean, it's just, yeah. I'm totally with
you. But I can also get them to fix it so the bad thing doesn't happen.
I just, I, you know, it was like, so you basically stole my money.
Well, that's really sucky.
You made me pay prepay for something that you didn't deliver. And it almost seems like it should be illegal.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think the real question with the postpaid thing is, Jeff, do you know if you have to sign a contract for that?
No, you don't. No,
okay, you so you don't. you just say, I want to put my iPad on my iPhone bill.
Right, and then when you decide, oh, I really don't need to be paying for this, then you tell them, I don't want it anymore. Now, since it's a postpaid thing, I think, because they'll do this with your iPhone when you change any of your services, you can get them to prorate it.
Yeah, so prorate call, it back. So.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.
So if you're going to make any changes, call.
It'll be really interesting to see how you set it up, right? Because you've got to have, with the prepaid, there's an interface on the iPad where you say, you know, give me 25 or 250 megabytes and here's my credit card. But with this postpaid thing, it seems like you have to like call AT&T and maybe give them your SIM number or something like that to link it up with your current AT&T account. But maybe there will be a better option. Yeah, there'll probably be something where you
Wi-Fi.
It'll probably be in the same program. Now that I think about it, it'll probably just ask for your phone number and the last four of your social. I overcomplicate things. Let's talk about the next thing, shall we? Do we want to talk about the camping out, the guy who's camping out? I don't know how much I want to talk about this because I just would criticize it.
Justin?
Justin, yeah. The fact that he's calling himself I Justin, maybe we
shouldn't
talk
refer to him
this.
As Justin Bieber.
Did you guys see Saturday Night Live with Miley Cyrus as Justin Bieber?
No.
It was really good. It was so it was a Never mind. We're talking about the iPhone. I'm not even going to get into this. But yeah, so the I Justin thing.
So the reason I want to refer to him as Justin Bieber instead of Justin, whatever his real name is.
Justin Wagoner.
Is because I'm sure a lot of this, and Adam and I have talked about this too, relates to him just wanting some attention.
He does. So I mean, that's
so
what
I'm messing it up for him by referring to him as Justin Bieber. So,
okay, yeah.
So, oh my God, Justin Bieber's waiting for a new iPad.
I like that.
How was
that?
Yeah,
if you look at his page, I don't know. I feel bad just talking about this now.
Well, here's my perspective on it, because actually one of my listeners sent me a picture and I posted it, and I think it got picked up by a couple places. I know CNN Fortune picked it up and Huffington and stuff like that. And you know, a lot of people like to point and go, oh, you know, crazy guy waiting in line for the iPad. And I mean, that's easy to do and we can all do that. But at the end of the day, you know, the guy's passionate about Apple products. He has time. He says he's on spring break, whatever. It doesn't really matter. And if that's what he wants to do, you know, why should we care all that much?
Oh, he says that he's on spring break for this right now?
Yeah, he is. Some schools are on spring break already.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. But I will say that my message to this guy and other guys who aspire to be notable for their Apple fandom. try to aspire to something even better. I'll put it that way.
Like camping out for a month so that you can be first in line to see Star Wars Phantom Menace.
Don't be that guy. Don't be camping
don't
out
be that guy.
That's my real message, is don't be that guy. Find something to do. I guess you're on spring break, so you go to college. So that's good. Good luck with that. But yeah, try not to, you know, be just that.
And if you are going to spend all that time waiting in line in your little tent, be sure and have a special friend with you so that you can have that special time together. And if this is a video podcast,
are you referring to the
air quotes,
the internet being your special friend?
No, I was actually referring to having someone there with you in meet space so that you could do things together to while away the hours.
See, then I don't think he'd be criticized if he had a lady friend with him or something like that.
Exactly.
Yeah, good point. All right, moving on.
Yeah, enough said about that.
Yeah. AT&T is permitting those users of the unlimited iPad data plan to continue using that with their iPad 2.
Yes. Did that come out as a press release? Or something from them?
Engadget confirmed it with AT&T.
Oh, that's funny. I confirmed it too because I had one of my listeners ask me. They wouldn't give me all the details though, that there were supposedly some more details coming. Mm. But I was able to get confirmation that you could roll over your unlimited plan. But they said the PR person was being coy and kind of said, but we'll have even more details later. So I don't know what that means.
Maybe some kind of like you'll have to swap your SIM card. Like they're not sure.
That was specifically what I was asking about, is do you need to move your SIM card? And they would not confirm or give any information about that.
That seems to be the logical, most easy way to do it.
But you didn't have to do that when, I didn't have to do that when I got my iPhone 4. They just transferred the account. So
well,
I would imagine
it'd be
the same.
Well, that's because when you got your iPhone 4, they also switched the type of SIM card they were using.
And, I mean, with every iPhone, though, they allowed you
it's
to do that.
It's because each time Apple has released a new iPhone, there's been a major change in the way the back end works. So you have to have a new SIM card.
No, I don't think that's true. But I think the more important detail is the fact that you're going somewhere or you're involving yourself in a situation where not only do they know your AT&T account information, but they also know the IMEI number of the phone that you're getting. So, and they put all that information into their little handheld deal. And
what about all those people who sold their iPads last week to get ready for the new one, and their SIM went away?
Well, then maybe they're screwed.
You know,
we'll have to see.
Sell someone any device. Actually, when I've sold cell phones and stuff in the past, I always take my SIM card out.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And they get the device, and they have to go get their own SIM card.
Yeah, I think I sold my 3GS a few weeks ago, and I can't remember if I took the SIM out of there or not. Not that it really matters. It's an old, old SIM. But I also sold my iPad, for those who care. Sold it on eBay. I had the 32 gig. Sold nice. It with the dock and several cases, and I got $425 for it. So,
oh, nice. Holy crud.
Yeah. So if you're out there and you're thinking, should I? Just do it immediately. The longer you wait, the less money you'll get, seriously. I mean, that's kind of obvious, but, you know, in case you're on the fence about doing it, just put it on eBay. So, yeah. Apple's released iOS 4.3 to the public. They released the Gold Master to developers last week, and I've had a little bit of time to play with it, and I'm sure you guys have as well. Of course, it includes the personal hotspot.
Really?
Okay. Well, it includes
it took forever to upgrade. At least for me.
Did it take forever to download?
No, it took forever to... I guess I could have canceled it, but did you guys have a problem? I had it where it had to re-optimize all of my photos.
Oh. No, I didn't have that.
Because I used the option for, you know, doing the optimized photos or whatever.
Sure.
And that took forever for whatever reason. I don't know why. And also, the first time I did tried to do the install on my iPhone, it like failed for some reason. The second time I ran it, it got stuck on authorizing with Apple.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I had to quit iTunes and then like force quit iTunes. And then the third time it actually just ran. So,
yeah. Well, I think that probably the spots where it was hanging up were probably where Apple's servers were involved.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. My upgrade on my iPhone and iPad went off without a hitch.
Oh, good to know.
Yeah. The biggest problem I had was trying to get iTunes to actually start the package download. Because 5 minutes after it was available, I was trying to get it to download, and iTunes was telling me, yep, it's there. And then I'd click the download and install button, and then it would just stop.
Great.
And so then I'd click the check for update button and go, yeah, it's there. And then it would fail to start the download. So it was like 3 or 4 times with that. And then all of a sudden it started to download and it was fine. It just went off without any problem. When I did my iPad a little while later, no problems. I just plugged it in. It said, yep, there's an update. Downloaded and installed and I was done.
Yeah.
I will tell you the one feature that I have used.
Yeah.
Yes. Use slide switch.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Hooray.
That was the very first thing.
That was the first thing I changed to.
Yeah, me too.
And then I just sat there and flicked the switch back and forth to watch the little rotation lock icon appear.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay, so with the jailbreak version of that, it wasn't a very solid hack. It was a pretty hacky hack. That allowed me to turn that switch back into the rotation lock. So sometimes it would, when I flipped the switch, it would rotate the screen 90 degrees and then rotate back to the way I had it. And it would always function as a mute switch in addition to the rotation lock switch. So it would mute some applications that used that as an indicator to mute. So it was kind of sucky. So sometimes, like with Air Video, for example, that was one of those apps that had that issue. I would actually have to use the lame version of locking the screen orientation. So it's very nice to have the proper way back. And I believe the default behavior is to have it mute, right? So yes. You have to go into the settings, you know, under general, and it's in there. And once you do that, then the rotate lock button changes to the mute button. And to address the question we posed to all of the listeners, whether you used the if there was anybody out there at all in the world that actually wanted the mute. Switch to work as mute, we got we got so many emails.
Seriously?
So many emails. I was bombarded. Yeah, tons of people want that. Yeah, okay. Surprising. I was really surprised, but there are tons of people out there.
Okay, well, then I'm glad the option's there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for me, I use my iPad in a very, very different way than I use my iPhone. So on my iPad, having that as a mute switch just really – it made the switch completely useless to me. Because I don't need to mute things on my iPad. I need to stop the damn screen from spinning around when I'm doing stuff or trying to show someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And on my iPhone, I want to make sound go away.
Yeah, like I said, it probably has to really come down to usage. I guess I use my iPad to watch a lot of video, be it Netflix streaming or PBS stuff. And I do that very often when I'm lying down.
Yeah.
And I don't want the screen flipping around because I want to be able to kind of put it at strange angles and not have it move. But I guess if you were using it a lot for business, maybe in a board meeting or, you know, that sort of thing, you probably would want a mute switch. So you're going into a meeting and you want to just make sure it's not, you know, doing push alerts or anything like that.
Yeah, I did get several, like exactly that, several emails from listeners saying, you know, I go into meetings or I, you know, I'm the IT guy and I have to go to these things occasionally and I don't want to have to open up my iPad and unlock it and do the whole volume rocker thing. They just want to hit the switch just in the same way that you want to hit the switch on your iPhone.
You know what? There is another thing that, I'm sorry, Apple needs to fix somehow or give some sort of option. It really is annoying that you can't adjust the volume unless you unlock the phone from, you know, using the volume buttons.
I mean, I think it makes sense.
It does, I guess, from the standpoint of not accidentally doing it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe there could be some sort of combination or something. But
maybe another setting. Apple's so reluctant to add settings. I was just talking about that today with someone about why don't they just add more settings to everything? And, you know,
no, but just I just not wanted, what Apple likes. I need an easy way to, I mean, don't other phones have the ability to, even when it's kind of locked, to adjust the volume?
I think you're asking the wrong group of people.
I seem to remember having phones like that.
I don't remember. Well, most of the phones.
Well, you have an Android phone, Adam.
And then you can do a button lock. Yeah, that thing is a piece of crap. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but it gets you the Wi-Fi.
I have tried. Yeah, but even I was having trouble with that the other day. And I call. This is here you go. You think AT&T is bad. So this is Virgin Mobile, which is really Sprint. And I the 3G has been really bad the last couple days on this phone. And I thought, you know, I tried resetting it. I tried doing the settings thing. And look at that. I'm trying to turn it on now. The battery's dead. And I don't know why. And I was it was charged up yesterday. So I'm
maybe
sure
that's a feature. The battery kills itself because, wow, that Adam, he's spending too much time online.
Yeah. Something was running in the background. But I called them up. You know, I did the 611 thing. And she goes, oh, yeah, it's broken. The 3G, we're aware of it. We're working on it. It should be back in 24 to 72 hours. I said, what? 72 hours? Thank you very much.
Yeah. How can they possibly say that?
I don't know. But here's the odd thing. And I told my wife this. I said, so having all these kinds of problems, I'm getting getting 1K down, you know, 1 kilobit per second downloads on 3G, you know, full bars, 3G connection, 1 kilobit per second downloads. I'm like, what the hell? You know, and I thought maybe they were throttling me or something like that. So I called them up. She says, oh, yeah, the we're having problems with the equipment. We're aware of it. We're working on it. It'll take 24 to 72 hours. Not 2 minutes after I hung up the phone with her, 3G's back working beautifully. I'm getting full speed, you know,
So did you wonder again if they were throttling you?
3 megabit per second downloads. Yeah.
So maybe like they're like, oh no, he caught us, and then they switched it back.
Better fix it.
Someone go reset the router.
Something or what? It's just you'll never know, right?
But yeah.
Actually, that's kind of odd that I call and complain and oh no, it's working.
No, that's how everything works. Comcast Internet, AT&T, all that. It's all how it works. You just got to call and talk to them, and they'll just do it.
Now the phone's dead, and I'm sure it's the background process. That's the thing is I still don't know what I can kill and what I can't kill.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I'm just deathly afraid I'm going to, kill this done service thing, and suddenly it's not going to make phone calls or do anything.
I mean, I think at the very worst, you'll have to reboot the phone. Like, you'll kill something, and then it'll all freeze up, or you'll get, a kernel panic screen or something, and then you'll have to reboot.
I remember the first time I had a phone completely lock up on me. It's back in the days of the Sony Ericsson T610, and the phone quite literally locked up. So I had to borrow someone else's phone, call. At that time, it was... what was T-Mobile before it was T-Mobile? Because I think that's what it was. VoiceStream. Anyhow, so I called them and they said, oh, you have to take the battery out. And I was taken quite off guard by that. I mean, the notion that the only way to get your phone to start working again is to yank the battery out, that was just crazy. Ah, the good old days.
Yeah, now you can't take the battery out.
Yeah, we have ways to get the phones to reboot.
Yeah, yeah. So,
And I just want to say for all the people who will say it's just the phone that I have. No, it's Android. I'm sorry. I just want to throw that out there, and I'm willing to take the emails.
Now, I'll back you up on that. I know there's a lot of people that love their Android phones, but I still don't feel like Android is an operating system for the masses.
No,
it's very fragile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my impression. So, yes, there's a lot of power. You can do a lot of stuff without it. I can tweak a million things on it. But if I just want to use the thing, like a normal human, then it just doesn't work. And I just wonder how the average person, if my mom had this phone, it would be over.
God. If my mom
wouldn't even make phone calls on it, I don't think.
If my mom had a phone like that, I would be in a rehab program by now.
Yeah. So, sorry. I tried.
So, iOS 4.3. What else do we have? We talked about the Switch for about 20 minutes.
Yeah. It's because we love that thing.
Yeah. We're very happy.
Best feature ever. I did the home sharing AirPlay thing a little bit.
Yeah, so there's awesome. So there's the home sharing, which allows you to, and I haven't done it on my iPhone because I didn't update on my iPhone, but on my iPad, if you go into, did you have to go into settings before you set that up?
Yes, it's not obvious, and I've had a couple people ask me already, so we do need to point this out. You have to go into settings, into the iPod, and then there's a new home sharing section where you can put in your Apple ID.
Yeah, so go in there, you set that up, you sign in. And then if you jump over to your iPod app and you're on the local network with iTunes libraries that have sharing turned on, at the top, you'll see a library, in the sources list where it says music, podcasts, etc. Click on the library where it has a little home sharing icon, and then click on the library that you want to get access to. And it just pops up. And it plays on your iPad. It's very cool. Now, if you want to get
I need to just mention real quick on the iPhone, iPod Touch. It's a little bit different because that sharing thing isn't right up there.
Right, right.
It's on one of the screens, which is usually you have to click the little more thing. I think you can customize it, but you have to click more and then it's down under shared. It has that little home icon, but it's not quite as obvious as I think the iPad is.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, so then with Now, this may be different on the iPhone as well, but with the on the iPad, if you want to get access to shared videos, you go under, I believe if you don't, see, I don't have anything on here, so it just presented me with shared libraries. So you may have to click on the shared icon in the upper left, to shared, click on the source, and then you'll get access to all your movies. It's very cool. I've never actually...
You get access to the movies on the iPad from the iPod thing now?
No, and you have to go to the Videos app.
Yeah, because you still do the Videos app. Okay, cool.
Yeah, go to the Videos app, and then you can get access to all the shared movies.
But you still set it up, the account up, in the iPod app.
Correct, yeah.
That's I'm sorry. Hooray. Apple does some things from a UI standpoint that are just messed up.
Well, some
and
things...
that's always been messed up on the iPad to me, because it's not consistent between the iPhone and the iPad, and I think it should be. And I like having the video thing actually as a separate app. We could have that whole debate, but I think that makes sense, that the iPod app would be for music and the video app is for your movies and your TV shows.
Well, how does it work on the iPhone? How do you get to
you
shared
have to go
movies?
To the iPod,
and then under more you go to the shared, and it just has everything there.
There's video. Yeah, you go to the shared, okay. And then you pick your library, the shared library you want to connect to, and then when you connect to that, it goes back to kind of the standard iPod interface where you have, however you have it set up. I have mine set up, you know, across the bottom where it's playlists, artists, songs, and videos.
Right.
I put in there, and then under more is the rest of the stuff. You know, you can load four icons down there, whatever you want to have.
Yeah, that hurts me.
So.
Okay. So,
but you know what I mean? So they should just take videos out of there on the iPod too. That's what I think now. I'm sure.
I thought they already did that on the iPod. They separated it. So there's the music icon and then there's the video icon.
No.
Okay. Well, all right. Whatever. AirPlay has also been
Oh, I see what you're
tweaked.
Saying. It, within the iPod app?
No. I mean on
are you
the
making fun of me or are you being serious?
I'm serious. On the iPod Touch.
Oh, on the iPod Touch, it is separate. Yes.
Okay.
And I think it should be.
I thought I was going crazy for
on the iPhone. Sorry. Yes. I probably interchanged iPhone and iPod.
It's okay. Touch. I feel like America does that. They interchange iPod with everything that has to do with Apple. So it's all right.
At least I didn't say iTouch.
Ugh. Oh.
Yeah, I'd be turning off your end of the call. You'd be gone.
Yeah, them's fighting words.
Yeah, exactly. AirPlay has been tweaked, updated, improved with iOS 4.3. Applications which would like to stream video to an Apple TV can now enable that functionality. And random videos in Safari will also allow you to do that.
And random?
Yeah, because...
just sometimes they'll be like, oh, I'm going to AirPlay now.
I'm serious. Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, not like they'll randomly pop up on your Apple TV, like, you know, something you don't want to have on the TV. But no, it's... I was watching something on Vimeo, and I was able to play that on the Apple TV just fine.
Cool.
But, yeah, number one, really awesome. But I went to then in Engadget to look at some of their hands-on stuff with the iPad too, because, you know, I can't wait and stuff. And so I was watching a video and I had a friend over and I was like, oh yeah, you should check this out. The iPad 2 is really fast. And I wanted to, we were sitting in front of the Apple TV and I wanted to squirt that up to the Apple TV. And of course it didn't work.
Don't say that.
Michael.
Don't do that.
Michael. Calling it squirting.
Michael.
Because it's a Zune thing.
Yes.
It's a derogatory Zune thing. I think it's funny.
See, that word has been ruined for all of eternity.
Squirt?
Thanks to Steve Ballmer.
Did he call it? Is that an actual Microsoft thing? Is that a term?
That was the Microsoft term for sending music from one Zune to another.
Okay, that makes it even funnier to me now.
And then listening to Steve Ballmer go, and I'll squirt something here and I'll squirt something there.
Oh my gosh,
dude, glove up, pal.
Yikes. Okay. Yeah. So
we can't use that. We can't use that term.
So what are we going to call it? We're going to call it
streaming.
Streaming works.
Okay. Well, I'm going to keep calling it squirting. So
I want you to stop talking right now.
Okay. Well, so I don't remember. Do you guys know what video service Engadget uses? I think they use like Blip or something, right? Blip TV on Engadget.
I can't remember.
I'll figure it out. But yeah, so some videos will play just fine on the Apple TV through AirPlay. Yeah, it looks like Blip.
Do you think it has something to do with the HTML5 spec or how you embed it via HTML5? I'm
guessing it has to do
HTML5 video yet to understand what all the options are. I know that you can do H.264 or there's another video format that's generally supported.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, it's something that plays on the iPad, so it's got to be H.264, right?
That's true. Yeah.
So it's and to be clear, before I updated to 4.3. I had all these features plus more because I was able to stream any video that I wanted to my Apple TV because I had that jailbreak thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this works perfectly. Like on my iPhone, if I go to a page that doesn't allow me to do that, I can stream it up to the Apple TV without a problem. So I'm guessing that it has something to do with the protocol that it's streaming using, whatever way it's connected to the server to get the video, or maybe it has something to do with having a very specific video spec. It's irritating. We'll just go with that. It's kind of irritating, but in some cases you'll be able to send something to the Apple TV in Safari. That was something you couldn't do before, right? You weren't able to, to send video. Okay. It was only through the YouTube app, right?
Oh, good question.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah, I think it was. So, yeah, it's cool. Stuff like Vivo, for example. You know how you can't get to Vivo videos through YouTube on the Apple TV? You can now AirPlay Vivo to your Apple TV. So you can watch music videos and stuff like that.
Vivo?
You're familiar with Vivo?
Nah.
It's... if you ever go to YouTube and maybe like watch a Lady Gaga video.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
I'm sure you do. Oh. So the interface kind of changes a little bit. It gets a little bit darker and it says, presented by Vivo, and it might have some kind of pre-roll ad nonsense and maybe irritate you a little bit like it does me, and then play the video. So all of those videos, anything that comes through Vivo can't be played on the Apple TV unless you go through the app, which is cool. I'm glad they added that. So in addition to 4.3 for the iPhone, the iPod, they also released it for the Apple TV. And Yay. It includes, they say, an updated and improved keyboard, which is just, have you guys checked it out? It's just way crazier. It's insane.
Really?
They had, I don't know who came up with the new keyboard. They must have been on some kind of like drug because it's, the original Apple TV had a QWERTY layout. The Apple TV 2 has an alphabetical layout. And with this most recent update, they shrunk it down to like half the screen. And so instead of having the capital and lowercase letters on the same exact screen, you go over, you hit play pause. It has a little instruction at the bottom. It says press play pause to switch modes. And now it's a modal keyboard. So you have lowercase mode, you hit play pause, and then you go over to uppercase mode. And then you hit play pause again, and it takes you to special character mode. And then you hit play pause again, and it takes you to super fancy character mode. And then if you hit it again, it goes back to lowercase mode.
This is something they're just experimenting with, and they're using the remote users for Apple TV as guinea pigs?
No, this is the standard. I'm talking about the interface on the Apple TV itself, the one that you use without, if you didn't have an iPhone or an iPod or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, psycho,
who does that?
Psycho mode for your keyboard. What else? Oh, they added new apps.
Yes, that's the big news.
Yeah, Apple TV has MLB.tv and NBA League Pass streaming. So for those of you who enjoy sports, you can check out the scores.
I believe that even if you're not a sports person, that's pretty huge for the Apple TV.
It is. It's apps.
So shows a sign of things potentially to come. Apple is probably not going to do it with a lot of services for entertainment content because I think they still want people to buy stuff from iTunes. But sports is one of those areas where they can branch out into and kind of more specialized content. So I would imagine we're going to see a lot more of that. And it makes the Apple TV more compelling to a wider audience sort of outside of the core Apple geek, which I think is kind of the bigger deal there.
Yeah, I feel like that this is kind of an experimental branching out, and I feel like on the horizon we'll see Apple making an API available, making a set of developer tools available to create apps.
I don't think it's even experimental. I think this is part of a very calculated plan on Apple's part, and mm-hmm. this is just the first implementation we're seeing, and this is something that that all these other companies that are trying to offer the streaming services that would go along with, say, major sports are working on themselves. The way Apple tends to do things, this is something that should give them pause. They should be very worried right now.
I think this is a little bit of what I was kind of mentioning when everybody was asking, is Apple going to put out an API for the Apple TV? And I still don't think they are. I think they're going to work with select partners like this to bring out very specialized apps. They may branch out beyond just video content to other types of entertainment content, including games. But I think it's going to be very, thought out, at least at first. So, yeah, it may be the precursor to something, but, I think several generations down the road, I think for the short term, they're going to be bringing new content in different areas and sort of co-developing the app. So I think it's going to still feel it's going to be this really closed developer environment.
I think you're right. I think our first experience with this was the whole Netflix thing.
Right.
Yep.
And now this is the beginning of the big push. And boy, did they start off right. Even though I have no interest in organized sports, the fact that they got the whole baseball basketball thing to happen, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Although it does require a subscription to watch any of the video, it does allow you to watch live games and archived games, right? Or highlights, at least.
I
think you get access with MLB. You get access to any game that you want, right? It's that sort of thing. I don't know how much it costs.
Yeah,
or are you talking about for free? You get some stuff.
I don't think you didn't get anything for free except for the scores.
I think the big restriction that you have is that local games will be blacked out, which is the way they do it for all of their games, as I recall. And not being a sports watcher, someone's shaking their head right now, thinking, really, why'd you let him talk about sports?
I mean, why are any of us talking about sports right now? So,
because they didn't have the Battlestar Galactica channel,
right? Yeah, they didn't. they didn't add the Battlestar Galactica app. So, what else? Is there anything else interesting in the 4.3, or should we move on?
Faster Safari.
Yep, with the Nitro JavaScript engine.
Right.
You can do HD video output using the Apple Digital AV adapter, which I believe is that the HDMI they call that?
Yeah, it's the new HDMI adapter that's coming out with the iPad 2.
Ooh, new ping features, push notifications for comments and follow requests, as if people use ping. Post and like songs directly from the now playing screen.
I'm still playing around with the ping playlist thing.
Now, what is that?
The shared playlist, so you can create. It's what used to be. iMixes.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So,
yeah, your shared playlist for Apple commercial songs has been growing.
It has been growing. People have been adding to it, which is cool. That's a public list, and I just created a new private list because I play, you know, new music on the Maccast, and a lot of that music is in iTunes. So I thought, oh, it'd be good to just make a playlist of the tracks that have been featured on the Maccast. So I'm slowly adding stuff back into that so that people can find that and buy it if they want.
I just noticed something new in the App Store app. Ah. So if you go in and you look at updates, you know how you always get the little plus symbol beside Universal Apps? There's now a mention at the bottom of apps that are ready for updates that tells you what that plus symbol means. And for applications that have more than a couple bullet points for their updates, there's a more option that you can tap and see the rest of the stuff.
Oh.
So that's kind of nice.
And you can actually tap on the application and get to it and see the full information. That was something you couldn't do previously, I believe, from within the update screen.
Yeah, so this is nice. Like, I'm looking at the Keynote 1.3.2 update, and it had the first bullet point, or first two bullet points, the little more thing, tap it, and I get a whole list of things. So that's really nice, because cool. If you have, say, 10 or 12 apps that all have updates, and every one of them has like 10 bullet points, and you want to scroll through all of it, that's a lot of scrolling.
It is. And I'm pretty surprised by the number of people that I know who aren't particularly geeky who enjoy reading through that.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people like reading through the what's new stuff in the updates.
Me too.
Yeah. It's nice to see. Did you guys, and this is not new with 4.3, but they pushed out an update via just whatever they display on the iPad. But on the iPad, if you're browsing through the store and you see something that you've already purchased, you know, there was no way, there's no indication of whether you purchased it until you actually hit buy and it says, oh, by the way, you already bought this. Are you cool with downloading it again? Now it actually shows, instead of the price, it just shows install.
Yeah, that's a nice little feature.
Yeah, and unfortunately only happens on the iPad right now, not even in the iTunes app. But it does have that, so it has the, so for, you know, like if I search for, you know, TomTom US and Canada, for example, it just shows an install because I have that. And in the search on the iPad, they've actually added a bar at the top. So you can filter through your results. You can say, you know, price, free paid, device, iPad, iPhone are all, customer rating, release date. So that's pretty cool. But that's not really new with 4.3. But that's just something that we haven't really mentioned yet.
And since we talked about Air Video and Jeff was talking about the updates, there is an Air Video update, by the way, Michael, that supports AirPlay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I heard. I saw that. That's very, I hope that it works with converted videos, because when I was doing it the hacky way, streaming, just plain old streaming videos worked fine. But if I went to Air Video, a converted on the fly type video, then it wouldn't work. So maybe that'll work now. And let's see here. Next topic. Should we talk about the... We'll run through these quickly. So according to rumor, the iPhone 5, I believe it's...
Our next thing to rumor about, right?
What's that?
That's the next thing we had to rumor about now for the next 6 months.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about the iPhone 5 rumors for
four months
or so. So according to Gadget's DNA, the iPhone 5 will get an aluminum backing with a redesigned antenna. And it shows a kind of a mock-up of a white iPhone with an aluminum iPad 2-like anodized aluminum back.
How cool would it be if it had a whip antenna that you like pulled up?
Like a really a really big antenna? Yeah, it'd be great.
like the old school like Motorola phones and stuff.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, with the little nub and you grab
pull
it. And
pull it out with your teeth.
And after about 3 weeks, your antenna has a 45-degree angle in it, and you're trying to drink. Oh, yeah. Oh, good times.
Yeah. So according to them, Decision to design similar to iPod Touch instead of using glass is supposed that Apple seems to stop problems which are told widely damages from scratching, difficulties of painting white, and weight of glass.
Is that a direct quote?
No, it's a translation. Yeah. Or maybe I just can't read.
I was afraid you just had a stroke.
Yeah, it did sound like that. Okay, so the obvious issue with this is, you know, of course, with the original iPhone, we had a plastic lower third, right? To let the radio transmissions through. And of course, with the iPod Touch and iPad, there are antenna windows. With the iPad, it goes through the screen. If you have the iPad with 3G, there's a black antenna window.
Plastic thingy, yeah.
Yep. And on the iPod Touch, there's the little black oval on the back. And so I don't think that they're going to do it. I'm just going to call fakeity fake fake fake. I know that's your call to make, Jeff, but...
No, I'm okay with you calling fakeity fake 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 fake.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so here's part of the problem I have with the explanation for the metal back that they've come up with, which is that they're going to go ahead...
That it's for antenna performance?
Yeah, and that the antennas are going to be behind the logo, the Apple logo.
That's
psycho. Yes, Apple does have a patent application in for that type of antenna design. The problem I have with that is, where does that Apple logo sit, and where does your hand sit when you hold the phone? Your
right.
hand, in many people's cases, will most likely be completely covering that Apple logo, which means that all the problems that people complain about with hand position obscuring radio signals, that's exactly what you will do when you hold the phone.
Yeah. 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 Did you guys see the 64 gigabyte iPhone 4 prototype?
Yeah.
According to MIC Gadget, and I believe some other sites following up to that. So the initial rumor was from MIC Gadget. There are some engineering prototypes of a 64 gigabyte iPhone 4 floating around in, what is it, Hong Kong, in the gray market. So on the back, instead of showing the size, it shows XX gigabyte, which is what we saw on the iPhone 4 prototype that Gizmodo had. So that indicates that it might actually be a prototype. And there's a screen showing the actual amount of memory, 59.1 gigs. And then in addition to that, there were some videos released, right? There's a video of the prototype.
Yeah.
I'm getting a 64 gigabyte iPhone 5. I'm just saying. That's what I'm getting.
All right.
It seems like they'll have it.
The problem that I'm seeing is chip density and cost. So assuming Apple can pack that much memory into an iPhone 4, if like there's actually enough room for it.
There is. I mean.
And there isn't going to be a significant increase in cost. 64 gig is totally reasonable. But if they really don't have enough room for the chips that currently are available, or it's going to raise the price, or if it's going to have a significant impact on battery life in some way, not going to happen.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Now, of course, 64 gigs does fit in an iPhone 4, as we can see, just by the fact that it exists, right? They even took it apart a little bit to show that, you know, where things were. And it seems pretty clear that it's technically possible. Not to mention the fact that it's been the top size for the iPhone has been 32 gigs for two generations, I feel, that they will definitely increase that maximum size. I mean, I hope they do. I really, really hope they do.
I think it's an easy prediction to say that Apple will increase the maximum memory in the iPhone.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of when does that happen.
I'm gonna predict right now that it's going to be iPhone 5.
And we only have, what, 3-4 months to wait?
Yeah. So whoever's out there keeping the list of our predictions, because I know I've gotten some emails from listeners talking about how, you know, if you go back to previous shows, to, especially listening to what you say, Jeff, being fake, there are a lot of things that turn out to be true or the opposite of what you say. So,
and Adam's always right.
So, right, yeah, that's what they say too.
There you go.
They mentioned that Adam's always right.
As well they should.
And the according to Apple Insider, according to... Well, they're reporting on what a Concord securities analyst has to say. They think that production of a white iPhone 4 is finally going to be underway shortly, and they will start shipping a white iPhone 4 in April, early April. Now, I'm not sure you can take anything that an analyst says as actual information.
Well, you can take it as information.
Information that
you just can't always take it on face value as accurate information.
Sure, yeah. So I'm, you know, first of all, for the sake of having a unique iPhone, I hope that they don't, because I tore my entire iPhone apart to get the white iPhone because I was tired of waiting. For the sake of, you know, that, I hope that they don't ever release it, because I predict that they won't release a white iPhone 4. I feel like they'll just keep delaying it. But, you know, it is in line with what Apple said they would do. They said that, you know, we would see the white iPhone 4 in spring. At least that was the last thing that they said about the white iPhone 4. They said that, right, it would also be released several other times in the last year. So we'll just have to wait and see, right?
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, someone,
I'll believe it when it's on the shelf. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll believe it when it's on the shelf, too. Someone made a joke yesterday or today about how wouldn't it be awesome if on Friday when the iPad 2 rolls out, people walk into the stores and there's just white iPhones on the shelf, too. No warning. They're just there.
That would be a neat surprise.
Didn't you just say that'd be a nightmare for you, Michael?
But I feel like if they presented it in that way, I would forgive them. Because I'd be like, oh, look what Apple did. Oh, that's so nice. So, yeah. If that's all we have to say about...
White iPhones?
Well, news in general. We have two things from listeners.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. Cool. So, John T.Y., wants to know, he has several devices, as I feel we all do now. So we all have, at least he has an iPhone, an iPad, and a Mac. He wants to know what we do to keep all of our devices in sync. What types of information we sync and how we do that.
Mobile me.
Yeah.
Mobile
so,
me.
Yeah. So for me, and I guess for all of us, we use Mobile Me. Especially for Safari bookmark syncing, address book syncing, calendar syncing.
Yep. Yep. You know, I have to say, because I get this question a lot, and a lot of people don't want to pay or buy Mobile Me. It's a little more quirky, I think, in the setup, or a little more tricky in the setup, from what I understand. And I tried to play around with it a little bit, but Google is a good option. The thing about it is, I really feel that you have to pick one or the other. Mixing and matching is where people, I think, sometimes get into trouble.
Right.
So if you're trying to iCal sync and GCal sync, it gets really dicey.
Yeah.
So it's now, just I've like also, set up the Google thing or set up the .Mac thing, but really I wouldn't recommend mixing the two for most people.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it either. Now, I have also heard people complain about the whole G syncing thing being really jacked up, in that, like, the very first time they sync, Google tells them, okay, we need to change 43 records. how can you possibly change 43 records? You haven't had any records yet. And then they start having a problem with records duplicating a lot.
Yeah.
So just be aware that there are people complaining about that. Not everyone is having problems, but there are people complaining.
Yeah.
Right. And I know people sometimes have trouble with MobileMe, but MobileMe has worked very well for me, but I've been using it exclusively for a really long time. And again, it has to be, I think it's because I just use it for everything and I don't try and mix and match and I don't mess with that stuff. I set it up and I let it run and do its thing and it's all Apple and it just works.
Yep.
I'm becoming more and more that way in my life. I've switched all my Wi-Fi over to AirPorts because they just work. And I always try to do the Linksys thing and save money. And what I'm finding is at the end of the day, you don't end up really saving all that much money because your time is what you pay with.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah. So moving to other syncing thingies.
One other sync thing in there. I actually use Dropbox
for
a lot of data syncing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the applications I use, and I'll toss out 1Password because that's a really good example. My 1Password data lives on my Dropbox account. And so my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad all use the same database from Dropbox.
Yep. I was free the other day, and I haven't used it yet. But I use a lot of note apps now that sync stuff, and Nebulous Notes was free the other day, so I picked that up. I don't know if you guys have used that, but
no, I haven't heard of that.
Play around with that.
Well, what I use for notes is Simple Note. I've been using Simple Note for a couple of years now, and it's pretty great. There are a lot of apps that work with the service. Is there a web? There's still a web interface, right?
Yeah, there's a web interface. But
so there's a web interface.
I never go to it.
Well, on your Mac you would. So what Simple Note
does is
it? Well, I did.
I use Notational Velocity on my Mac.
So yeah, you can use Notational Velocity on your Mac. You can use Just Notes. I've been using Just Notes. That's what I'm using for looking at my Simple Note stuff on my Mac. There's a Simple Note application. It's free. It's freemium. If you want the extra features, such as removing the ads, or if you get Simple Note Premium, $20. You get history and you can undelete things. And there's a bunch of other cool stuff built into it as well. But the magic of Simple Note is that it actually does a good job with syncing your notes, as opposed to the way Apple has it set up with the Notes app. There's also tagging and a bunch of other fun stuff. So that's what I use for notes.
The other app that's getting really good for notes and for syncing is Evernote. If you're an Evernote user, it just keeps getting better and better. And I know they've just made some new updates that a lot of people were very excited about. I use Evernote sometimes. I've never gotten into it, but I could see how if you dove headfirst into using that exclusively as your notes thing, that has really nice syncing built into it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I use that to keep track of documents that I need when I'm traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And also when I'm doing presentations. So it becomes almost like a backup system for me. So everything that I would be accessing other places is sitting there as well.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm doing with Dropbox. And I guess we got to be honest about Dropbox. Dropbox isn't necessarily, I mean, it's syncing on the Mac, on the iPad. Most of the apps that I use with it, you selectively, you know, it goes out and reads your Dropbox and then you can pull down apps. Or pull down documents as you need them and then put them back up into Dropbox. But
right,
it's not quote-unquote syncing on the iOS devices. It is on your Mac. For sure, it keeps a folder in sync. But
yeah,
just there is that little distinction. Again, and because I use that now with... I mean, Dropbox is my central source that I tie in with Goodreader. They just added support. One of my picks was for working with text files was Textastic. That now supports Dropbox, so you can pull stuff straight down from Dropbox and put stuff back into Dropbox, and that is awesome.
Can you access your Dropbox stuff with Pages?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Through WebDAV?
We'll let you do that.
Yeah, I do it through through like Goodreader or something like that. It's kind of a roundabout way, but
yeah. So if you want to do it directly in Pages, then use Drop DAV,
which is
I'm sorry.
You were going to explain it. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So Drop DAV, it's a free service. Unless you're paying for Dropbox, then there's an extra fee for paid customers. But what it does is it acts as a go-between for Dropbox and Pages and Keynote.
Because Pages and Keynote, those applications accept web dev connections, and so I guess this bridges the Dropbox with web dev, right?
Right. And so once you have it set up, then you can, and by set up, you just have to set up an account and link it to your Dropbox account. Then when you go into Pages, Keynote, or Numbers on your iPad, you put in your account name, essentially. And then it jumps through their WebDAV server system that links back to your Dropbox account and gives you access to your files.
That's right, because those apps can connect to any WebDAV server, right?
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, so, Now, to wrap this discussion up, I'll also mention that for music on my iPad and on my iPhone, actually, I use Zumocast. I know there are a lot of other applications that do this, but it's the one that I've kind of gravitated toward, and it just allows me to access my iTunes library that I have on my computer from wherever I am. So I don't have to be on my local network. So, yes, you do have home sharing when you're at home, but when I'm away from home and I want to access my music, I use Zumocast.
This is a streaming thing, right? So you're not really syncing stuff. It just gives you access back.
Yeah.
To your audio.
And same kind of deal with Air Video, which I talked about before, yeah, which allows me to access all my videos that I have on my computer. So yeah.
I think because of how this discussion went down, I think you can probably tell that the cloud is sort of accessing stuff through the cloud on iOS devices is more what we're doing than actually syncing.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to keep harping on that, but it is an important distinction for people to understand, because I think that's the way it's going. Because you have limited storage on there, you don't necessarily want a bunch of stuff syncing over, but you know, contacts and addresses and emails and your calendar stuff, that you definitely are syncing. But more and more I'm finding if I can just get to the stuff that I want and then either stream or selectively pull down those individual items that I want to have, then that is the most ideal thing. And that's why I'm most excited about the rumors about like an iTunes locker, where I would have the option to do both those things with my audio files. So majority of the time when I have a good internet connection, I'll stream. But if I'm getting ready to go on a flight or something like that, hey, I might want to pull down a TV show or a movie out of the cloud, sync it down to my phone, and then hop on the plane.
Mm-hmm. I also recommend, so for proper syncing applications, I also highly, highly recommend Instapaper.
Oh, Instapaper is a lifesaver.
Yeah, so for if you don't know what Instapaper is, primarily it allows you to save articles for reading later. So the primary way for getting items into Instapaper is using a bookmarklet in Safari or whatever browser you please. You're checking out an article, maybe too long for reading right now, click on the bookmarklet and it'll save to your Instapaper account. And then you can later go to your Instapaper.com on your Mac or using the Instapaper application on your iPhone or iPad. You can read those there. And the beauty of Instapaper is not only does it save it for you, but it also removes all the website part from the article and just gives you the text in a very nicely formatted way, and it does actually sync. So when you open up the Instapaper app, it pulls all the stuff down that you've saved and then you can read it later. So as long as you open it up and it finishes syncing before you hop on the plane or you go somewhere without Wi-Fi, then you have all those articles for you.
Yep. And for me, instead of using the Safari bookmarklet, it's Reader, both on my iPad, my iPhone, and on my Mac.
Yes.
Anything that I'm, when I'm going through articles, if it's too long for me to read, or I have stuff that I want to, you know, look more closely at, long form stuff, just I hit that Instapaper icon, tap I, think it's the shortcut or something like that, and boom.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, okay. So
shot over there.
I think that's all for that. There's another quick reader question that I wanted to address. Paul asked how we recommend streaming copywritten materials from iTunes, you know, the stuff that he bought through iTunes to his TV. He has a PlayStation 3 that he uses, an application on his Mac to stream those things to it. But of course, because it's protected, you can't do that. So my first recommendation is using your iPhone or iPad with a cable, component cable. I believe you have to use the component or the HDMI cable that they're introducing. Hook that up to your TV and either sync your video to your iDevice or use the home sharing feature that was just introduced with 4.3.
Yeah, that would be the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or use,
that's the easiest way, I would say.
Or use your laptop. Get a I have a cable that I use with my MacBook Pro. It's a mini DisplayPort to HDMI cable, a little adapter. So you basically plug the adapter into your computer, and then there's just an HDMI plug on the end. And it's cheap. Get it on Newegg. Don't pay $50 for an adapter.
I'm such a fanboy. This just goes back to how much time do you want to spend? Because I'm sure there is really creative things you can do to make this happen, right?
Like DRMing it and stuff like that.
Well, not even that. I mean, I'm sure something where it you use an analog hole. I don't know if there's an analog hole, but I bet you there's some way to like pipe it through out of iTunes through some other
FaceTime
server thing.
FaceTime from one device to another.
Oh, you know,
and I'd love to hear about that stuff. So if anybody knows, it does have a solution, a non-Apple way of doing this, be sure to let us know. But at the end of the day, how much time do you want to spend kludging something together, and then it sort of only half works and you're dealing and fussing with it all the time, where you can just go for $99, go buy an Apple TV 2 and plug it into
your
TV.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think he mentioned that he didn't want to buy an Apple TV in the email. Yeah, but I mean, seriously, that thing rocks for getting all my content to the TV.
So we come off sounding like Apple fanboys, but it's a lot of this for me is not so much that. It's not that I don't, you know, I'm not interested in finding another solution. It's that the time that you spend dealing with that is just, I'd rather be doing something else. And I can just plug the Apple TV 2 in and I know it's going to work and I don't have to fuss and mess with it. And
yeah,
I move on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. So iDevice picks. Adam, you want to go first?
Oh, right.
Am I going first?
Sure.
Hello?
Yeah, definitely. Go first.
I lost you there for a second.
Everything went all dead for me too.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, we might be running out of time.
We might have to put another coin in Skype.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's getting
the meter's
Skype-y.
Running. Yeah. Okay. So, Adam, you want to go first then?
Sure. Let me pick You know what? I'm going to pick something because where I was yesterday, I have to admit, was at Disneyland.
You're just spending all your time in the Magical Kingdom, aren't you?
I don't blame you.
Yes.
It's more fun there.
I got passes. And so I was looking for some stuff, and I think I found this over on TUAW or one of those places. And I'm going to give you a pair of apps, and they're both free. And I think they have them for Disneyland and Disney World. One is called Disneyland Dining, DL Dining, and it has all of the information for all of the restaurants at the Disney theme parks. So if you want to find a certain kind of food, or you want to find the food that's near you, and it gives out the pricing and you can set up your favorites. It has the number for some of the restaurants you can actually call and get reservations. So it gives you the number where you can call and actually reserve and set up your times. So it has all of that in it. So pretty straightforward on that one. And then the other one is even cooler. It's called the Disneyland Maps. So you know that little map they give you at the front? You don't need that. You just grab your iPhone or iPad with this app, and it has all of the attractions on there. And also will show you where restrooms are. And again, you can use the GPS and find the stuff near you. But the if you click on any item, there's a description and a picture, and it's pretty nicely done. But the big thing is they have a server, and people can put in the wait time for the different rides and submit that back to the server. So every time you launch the app, it'll download the latest information, and it's sort of crowdsourced information from people who are actually at the park at that moment.
Is this you're referring to the $2 Versa Edge software application?
I thought they were free. There's a free version, ad supported.
Well, Disneyland dining is free.
Yes, and I have DL Maps free. There's a free version and there's a paid version.
Okay.
And I think the difference is ads no ads.
Disneyland Maps Paris free. I'm sure it's in here somewhere. They probably
They have them all. It's a little tricky. You have to find the right one. You know, I have the Disneyland one. They have a Disney World one. As you can tell, they have the one for Disneyland in Europe, and so they do them for all of the different Disney theme parks. And I'm sorry, I don't have the developer in front of me. I can launch iTunes while you guys are talking and get the information.
Disneyland Maps free.
Or I can click on the ad.
Wow.
Which goes to their own website. We'll see. But anyway, those are great. And so if you go to Disneyland theme parks, they came in really handy. Yeah, it's the Versa Edge software.
Okay, cool. I must be doing something with my internet. Because you guys, can you hear me still? Uh-oh. Jeff, are you still there?
Yeah, you're... Nope.
Yeah. Jeff, are you still there?
No, he's gone.
Oh, he's gone.
Yeah.
Oh, I hear off. Cylon Michael and Cylon Adam now.
No, maybe he is. No, he's still there, but we can't hear him.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hello.
Oh, hey, you're not Skin Jobs anymore.
Yeah, for some reason it said I was disconnected from the internet. So just to let you know, you're not on the internet anymore.
That's okay.
So yeah. I don't know where I got cut off.
No, we got all of it. So we'll just
it's the Versa Edge app.
Yep. Disneyland Maps free and Disneyland Dining free. So Jeff, what is your pick this week?
My pick this week is a game for the iPhone, and it's called Tiny Wings.
Oh, good. That was going to be the one that I was going to pick, and then I switched it at the last minute. So I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I'm glad you switched too, because I didn't have a backup. Yeah, so first off, the fact that I'm into this game now is totally one of our listeners' faults. So, Mark Haycock, you totally made me spend a dollar, and you've cost me so much time. I hope you're happy now. And anyhow,
I'm sure he is.
The game is really simple. You have a bird, and he needs to fly, but he also needs to dive back down to the ground so he can eat his bird food stuff. So when you hold your finger on the screen of your iPhone, his little wings tuck in and he dives back down. When you let go of the screen, his little wings flap and he goes back up in the air. So the trick is to use the hills it's a side scroller game. So what you want to do is dive down to the hills so you can go down a hill, gain speed, and then flap your little wings as you go up the hill and shoot up in the air. and that's pretty much it. And so you want to try and time this so that you can pick up the little bird food things on the ground, and there's like power-up things along the way too. That's it.
It looks very cute. It's been on the top charts for a few days.
I have to save Jeff from a couple emails, though.
Okay. Did he get something wrong?
The little bird food things, and it took me a while to figure this out too, are coins. I don't know why coins. He collects little coins, yellow coins and blue coins.
Well, because that's what you collect in a game, coins.
And the overarching concept is that you're this big fat bird and you have wings that are too small and so you can't fly.
Oh, like the space shuttle.
But luckily in the world, there are hills. And so you use the hills to kind of live your dream of flying.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I gave the simplified version. And thank you for saving me from the extra phone calls.
Yeah. I mean, not huge differences, but you know how people get.
Yeah, yeah. People do get ornery.
But it's incredibly fun. And my only complaint about it is it feels a little repetitious, because one of the concepts is you're chasing, for some reason, you're chasing the night, and you're trying not to fall asleep. And so each sort of level, if that's what it can be called, is an island. And you're trying to get from island to island ahead of the night coming at you. And when night reaches you, then it sort of that ends the game. And
right,
yeah. And so every time you start on the first island and you go as far as you can until night catches you. So I think I've been able to get to the sixth island so far.
Yeah, okay. So it's one of those games that I'm not going to sit and play for an extended period of time.
Right.
But then, to be fair, I don't really do that with any game. This is one of those games where I need to have a diversion for a few minutes, and so I can fire up the game and play through a few levels. The sun will catch up, or the moon will catch up with me, whatever, and it's nighttime, and the game's done.
Yeah,
Yeah.
And then the way you sort of advance, so the levels change. And also every day, I think, they swap out the graphics, or the graphics change dependent upon the day a little bit. So that adds a little bit of interest as you're playing different days. But then also on each sort of, you start out with a nest, and your nest kind of levels up. And the way you level up your nest is that you have challenges for each set. So each time your nest levels up, you get three new challenges. So it'll be like, oh, you need to get to Island 5 without using any speed boost things. Or you need to collect this many coins, or this many points worth of coins. And once you complete those three challenges, then your nest levels up, and then you're on to the next three challenges. So.
Yeah.
There are some nuances to it, but I've only had it for, I don't know how long you've had it, Jeff, but I've only had it for less than a week. So,
yeah, I've had it a little bit longer than you, but it's very possible you've played it more than I have, because like I said, it's one of those things where I play for a few minutes. Okay, that was fun. And sometimes I don't even play all the way through to where nighttime catches up to me. I just play it and then go, okay, I'm done. Hit the home button and walk away from the game.
Sounds like you have the same kind of game habits that I do.
Yep.
Yeah. See, I still haven't finished Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah. See, I haven't even tried playing it because
I didn't even know you could finish those sorts of games.
Yeah, Plants vs. Zombies. I have several friends that look at me as if I have some sort of just hideous deformity because I haven't finished the game. They finished, and then there's other things I guess you can do in games like Plants vs. Zombies when you finished.
Huh.
Yeah. But like, you know, a game like that, I'll hit a point where you have to know, or you have to figure out how to do the one very specific thing. And if you can't figure out how to do exactly the right thing in exactly the right way, then you just continue to die. And so I hit a point like that in Plants vs. Zombies. And so that was it. And I stopped playing for like 3 months, and then went back and played the same level and realized, oh yeah, this really pissed me off. So I stopped playing again.
Yeah, you play like me too. Just move on to the next game. It's like, oh, that got too hard.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then later on I'll think, oh, I need a break from Angry Birds or whatever. And then I'll go play a level in Plants vs. Zombies or whatever the game is. And I might advance to the next level and think, really, that's what I had to do to complete this level? That is so stupid. And and then play obsessively for 15 minutes until I hit a point where I can't figure it out, and then I hit the home button and walk away from it for 3 months.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
Yeah, it drives my gamer friends nuts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my pick, well, okay, your Jeff's pick was Tiny Wings. It's a buck in the App Store. So, I mean, just get it. It looks very cute.
So it's awesome.
Yeah.
It is a lot of fun.
It's a very fun little game.
Yeah. So my pick is The Universe on Netflix. Netflix streaming. Because you can get to that if you have Netflix, and I highly
The Universe series is on streaming?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah, all four seasons. And
I don't know if I can stop catching up on Battlestar Galactica, though.
Well, you just put it in your streaming queue. That's the beauty of Netflix. So if you don't have time to watch it right now, put it in your queue. And, you know.
Which you can't do on your iPad, apparently, anymore.
Yeah, they changed the interface on the iPad to make it really sucky now. They basically just changed it to the iPhone interface. It used to be much better. But anyway.
Or can you add stuff to your queue? You just can't manage it?
I don't think you can even add.
I think it was that you can't. I was reading about this because at first I thought it was an issue with me jailbreaking, and I thought that I broke it somehow. But I guess, so I went to, like, I read an Engadget article about them changing it. And yeah, no, you can manage your instant queue. You're allowed to, with your instant queue. You can't mess with your DVD queue.
Oh, okay. And
can you remove stuff? Okay. Yeah, you can. Yeah. You can manage your instant queue. You can't mess with your DVD queue. So anyway, I believe they're playing the fifth season of The Universe right now, right on TV, on whatever History Channel, I think it is. But the first four seasons of The Universe are on streaming on Netflix, and they're just amazing. Go check it out. It covers so many different things. Let me pull it up here. I think the first episode of the first season is about the sun. Yeah, it's called Secrets of the Sun, and it talks all about the awesomeness that is the sun, and what people used to think, you know, powered the sun, and how it actually works. And, you know, there are episodes about stars and how stars work and different sizes of stars and what each one does. And, you know, just so many, there's just so much stuff. There's so much stuff in space.
It's very cool stuff.
It's really
space
big.
Is big.
It's really big. In fact, you won't believe how big it is. Right?
That's awesome.
Yeah, so check it out. Netflix is almost, you know, worth it just for this. So
it's in my queue right now.
Yep.
Well, and Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. Is it original series or new?
The whole thing. I had been holding off because for the longest time they didn't have. I don't the mini series. I don't know. It was like the prequel series or whatever.
Yeah. I better not.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No,
I don't. There was like some pilot episodes. There were like three pilot episodes that were before season one.
Season 2.0 or 2.5?
No. They were like specials. Oh,
yeah. They did it as a three-episode.
I don't know if it was a miniseries or whatever.
Yeah, it was done as a miniseries.
For the longest time. And then they finally. So I kept seeing Battlestar Galactica on there. And I'm like, I want to watch it, but I don't want to. I tried starting the first show of season one. And I was like, I'm totally confused. I don't know what's going on. There's a bunch of stuff that happened that I don't know about. And so they finally put up that three part miniseries, or I forget how many episodes it was, but those finally went up.
It was three, I think.
Then I started watching and I'm totally hooked. And I think I'm up to I might be on season three, about halfway through season three.
Oh my gosh. I better not get into Battlestar Galactica.
Well, it's awesome because you can just watch them back to back to back. I'm just like plowing through.
Just mainlining Battlestar Galactica.
I watch it every night. I get a new episode every night. I was telling my wife, it's like, this is how TV needs to be. I might stop just watching regular TV because then you can find out what the cool shows are because everybody figures it out. And then just when they get canceled and they show up on Netflix, then you can just watch one entire show every day for, you know, months, and then you go on to the next cool show.
I'm also going to recommend When We Left Earth. as my secondary pick, because Adam, you had two picks. I'm gonna throw in a second one. So check out When We Left Earth. It's a 6-part documentary from the Discovery Channel about the first, all of the history of going to space thus far.
Yes, I watched that.
It's really
that is
cool.
A good series.
It's really, really cool.
I have one to toss in there too.
Okay. Is it about space?
Not really.
I don't know if you can mention it then, because you got to stay in the
theme. Well, it takes place in a different universe.
Okay.
How's that?
All right.
All right. So it's an anime series that it's several years old now, and it's called Full Metal Alchemy. And
this is turning really nerdy fast.
It really is. This is a series that my friend Melissa turned me on to, and it's available on Netflix streaming. Each episode is 24 minutes long, so you don't have to make major time commitments to watch individual episodes. And the premise is you have a universe where alchemy is sort of like scientific magic, wizardry stuff. And yes, for those of you that are already Full Metal Alchemy fans, I know I totally super simplified it. Okay. Anyhow, and so it's the quest of these two brothers that are trying to fix what they see as a horrible mistake that they made in their life, and how they become involved with the government, with the military, and all of the just the espionage things that go along with their quest to right the wrong that they did. And it's
What's that
just
one called?
Full Metal Alchemy.
Okay, cool.
All right. Cool.
Do you still have the physical disc Netflix?
Yeah.
So have you seen From Earth to the Moon? I'll just throw that in there too.
Fantastic.
Yes, I did. Is that the Tom Hanks?
Tom Hanks one, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's
so
cool.
That is fantastic.
Should watch that also. That's like
a docudrama.
It's fiction based on fact stuff about
it's reenactment of exactly. Of history of Apollo.
And it's done really well.
Hey, it's really nice.
Fact-based fiction. That's what they call it.
Oh, that's what they call it?
Yeah,
fact-based fiction. Okay. All right. Well, with that, what do we have here? What do I say next? Oh, here's that sheet. iPhone picks and our show notes can be found at wehavecommunicators.com. Click on the episode and check all of that out right there. You can leave your comments, have little discussions with other listeners for each show right below on the below the show notes using Discuss. I highly recommend you do that. We got a lot of feedback for the last episode using on the comments page. So check it out. Wehavecommunicators.com. And of course, you can send us email using the feedback at wehavecommunicators.com email address. You can find Jeff Gamet at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. Twitter.com/jgamet is his Twitter. And Zazzle.com/jgamet is where you can find his drawings on various things. Shirts, hats, aprons, mugs, right? Underpants, yeah. You can just make something up and he probably has something on it. And including the We Have Communicators coffee mug.
Which, by the way, works really well. Everything I drink out of that tastes better.
Yeah, it's true. And Adam Christensen is at the MattCast. MattCast.com and Twitter.com/MattCast is his Twitter. And, of course, you can find the member version of the MattCast at member.mattcast.com.
Yep. Just did an episode because I had to do my taxes on going paperless.
Ooh.
For your taxes.
Did you talk about Square?
Scan snaps and all that stuff.
Did you talk about Square in that episode?
No, that didn't come up in there. It was mostly about me gathering all my documents and having them all on my computer virtually, which just made my tax appointment go so much more smoothly.
Ugh,
so it was awesome.
Taxes.
That was how I did that and the apps and stuff that I used for that. And I have to say, too, people should go to the website just purely for the fact that it's 75% less Drupal-y now. So Very nice job, Michael.
Oh, you're talking about the We Have Communicators website.
Yes, the We Have Communicators website. Sorry, I should have been clear about that. Yeah, everybody should visit wehavecommunicators.com because it's now with 75% less Drupal.
Yeah, way, way less Drupal. Definitely Drupal, but
nice.
But I mean, you mentioned the fact that I still had the little alien Drupal droplet guy.
Yeah.
And I realized I really got to get rid of that. Because
I'm assuming we've had no submissions for a logo yet.
We got a couple. They're cool. I'm working on the Alan Parsons project right now, so it's hard for me to take a lot of time out of that to.
No, that's fine. And I'm still going to be clear. You know, there's no guarantee we're going to use anything anybody sends, but
yeah,
we'd love to get your ideas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So and don't feel offended if we don't use what you send.
Yeah, definitely don't feel offended.
Don't send it.
Yeah. My Twitter is twitter.com/MichaelJohnston, and I do little reviews, as in little reviews, on Twitter, twitter.com/littlereviews, L-I-L reviews, where I review, you know, stuff that I encounter in my daily life. I'll probably say iPad. Or no, I'll probably say iPad 2. Pretty cool. I'll probably say that. You'll probably see that on Friday. So
we got the review early.
Yeah. So awesome. Don't tell your friends that also follow Little Reviews, because I know that you have a lot of friends who follow that Twitter. So don't tell them. They'll get a surprise. They'll be like, wow, I really didn't expect Michael to say that he liked the iPad 2. So they'll get a nice little surprise there.
Surprises are fun.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And with that, we will see you next week with our iPad 2s and We Have Communicators.
An iPod, a phone, and an internet communicator.
How are we going to communicate this?
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do?
Oh, a stylus, right?